Hello and welcome. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to use this week's message to teach and inspire you while you listen.
Don't you wish we could just stay right here? One day we will be able to stay right here. Because when we get to heaven, when we're in the presence of the Lord, it's going to be just like this all the time. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to thank God so much for what's happening here at CPC. Last Sabbath, after the third message on the topic of the Sabbath of rest by Pastor Wright, the sanctuary was jam-packed with Bible study warriors. You all have renewed my faith in the church of God and in His people in these last days. Brought your sack lunches. We haven't done that in a minute. Folk all over the whole church, nobody complaining. At least I didn't hear them. Waiting anxiously after a message, some after two messages, to come back into the sanctuary on the edge of your seat with your Bibles open. Do you see what's happening? This is a revival taking place. Don't let it pass you by. It's out of a revival that true reformation takes place. You can't have a change without the Holy Ghost. That's what a revival is. The Holy Spirit falls afresh on people. And they have a new desire to pray and to study God's Word like never before. And I see that happening here, and I'm excited about it. And I said to myself, what in the world can I preach to follow up those three those three messages on the Sabbath rest? And I, let me tell you all something. If you missed it, please get the CDs. It has the ability to change your life. If you will really enter into His rest and understand how sweet it is to know Him for yourself and the rest and the beauty of His holiness and to really enjoy and appreciate what the Sabbath is all about. Oh, how much better off we will be if we would keep the Sabbath holy as God instructs us from His Word. I thought I would talk on the day before the Sabbath, Preparation Day. See, sometimes we miss the blessings of the Sabbath because we're not ready. Some folk think the Sabbath begins when you walk in the church at a 12 o'clock for worship service. Or sometimes we act that way. But God says we need a whole 24-hour period of rest. He makes it very clear from the beginning in Genesis as He speaks about each day being made. And He makes it plain, and an evening and a morning was a first day, second day, all the way to the seventh day. And the seventh day is special. It is blessed. It is sanctified because in it God rested. Not because He was tired, but because He knew we needed to rest. The Hebrew word yom, 24-hour time period. It's all the Sabbath from sunset Friday night to sunset Saturday night. It is all the Sabbath, and it's a special time of communion with our God. And if you miss it, you have missed out on some special blessings And your life is just going to be more tough. Wouldn't you agree? God has a blessing for you, and you miss it. Then you've got to go through that next week without the blessing that God was going to give to you to prepare you for the next week. And so we want to talk about that today on a sermon entitled Preparation Day. You better get ready. Let us pray. Father God, oh, that we could just dwell in your house and incline in your holy temple. We are here. We are inclining. We are inquiring. We are beseeching. We're not asking for material things. We're asking that your holy presence would fill this temple and each heart, mind, body, and soul. Because as long as we have you in our lives, we have everything that we really need. And then teach us, Lord, how to enter into your rest, to make full use of the preparation day that you have given to us, so that we might not only be ready for the Sabbath from week to week, but one day be ready for your second coming. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Let everyone say together, amen. Amen. In this life, anything we accomplish, if there's going to be any level of success or excellence, it takes planning, practice, and preparation. Is that true? To ensure a favorable outcome. We prepare for tests and exams. We prepare for a speech, a sermon. We prepare for any performance or presentation. We prepare to travel. We prepare for a job interview. We prepare for adulthood as we begin to save up for different things. We're preparing for college, preparing to one day purchase our own car, our first home, preparing to have children one day, preparing. Life has so many opportunities in it, but if we do not prepare, life has a way of passing us by and we miss out on receiving all of the blessings and achieving the goals and dreams that we have in life. There's one thing that we need to prepare for. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ. As we've heard for the past few Sabbaths, as Pastor Wright has preached on the topic of the true seventh-day Sabbath rest, we've seen that this has been many times misunderstood, misapplied, and even preached in a way that makes it not fully be observed or appreciated by the people of God. There's another doctrine that I think also that is misapplied or misunderstood, and that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again very soon. You don't hear that all the time. And in fact, it's almost going out of style. By the same ones who make light of a full day of Sabbath rest, there are individuals that will make you think that we have forever to live down here. You don't hear those old-time tent revival messages anymore, where the preacher would say, get your house in order because Jesus is coming. That's almost a doomsday message now, and people don't want to be viewed as someone that is speaking a doomsday message, but I still believe it, that Jesus is coming soon. And you better get ready, my friend, because when he breaks through the clouds, they won't be getting ready at that moment. It will be too late to get ready. You have to be ready. You better get ready for the second coming. There's another analogy that I think is that we have experienced in terms of getting ready for that I'd like to now apply to getting ready for the second coming. And that is marriage. Getting married is one of the most significant and awesome and powerful blessings that God has given to mankind. Amen. Woo! Lord help us. If it's not, y'all need to go somewhere and pray. Marriage is a gift. Just testing you now. And if you look in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 10, you see how God uses this analogy of marriage. Now, if there's anything that people prepare for in life, I believe that marriage would be almost on one of the top things in terms of preparing. No way in the world you want to just wake up one day and look at the person that you've been dating and just say, hey, let's just go get married. You make the biggest mistake of your life. You got to make sure that you have found someone who also loves God the way you do. Make sure you found someone who is willing to love you the way God would love you and the way you have committed yourself to love them. And you must make sure that you are ready to give yourself to someone and at the same time to be the appropriate spouse for that person. That takes some preparation. Then there is this long engagement. Seems almost torturous because you're so close but yet so far. After a while of dating, you just wish that you could get so much closer together. You wish that you could spend time together more. You wish that you could live together. But if you are wise, you will wait. You will ask for counsel, spiritual counsel. So you have marriage, a premarital counseling. And so as you're trying to do everything the right way, the way God would have it to be, you begin to prepare yourself. Men begin to prepare their finances, to prepare their jobs, the place where they're staying. Because Lord knows if you cannot take care of yourself, brother, there's no way in the world you can take care of God's precious gift to you. Women are also getting themselves ready and they're preparing themselves and to be the spouse that the husband is, dreams and hopes that he will marry one day. And then as they set that date, look at all the preparations that go into the wedding ceremony. And many times months or years the date is set and the plans go into action. And you, if you want to do it right, you've got to have a plan. Would you say amen? And prepare yourself. And look in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 10, and you'll see. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Let that simmer for just a moment. His wife hath done what?
Made herself ready.
And to her was granted that she should be arrayed with what, everybody? Fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Woo! Who, me? I can be righteous? No, this is the righteousness of Christ now being applied to the saint. And so now it is spoken of as though it is their righteousness, but it's Christ's righteousness now, but it's all over the believer. Righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage, what everybody? Supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Look at the very next verse, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. That's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, coming back. The very last thing that John saw in vision just before the sky opens up is he saw the bride making herself ready. And so we as the body of Christ, the church, is his bride, of whom the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is coming back to get. And so we as a church need to be in a state of making ourselves ready. just before the second coming of Christ, God's people will not be wasting time, will not be caught up in the world, will not be sidetracked. They will be so focused. They will be looking forward to His coming so much. It'll be like a bride looking forward to her wedding day. And on that day, I asked my wife in the car on the way here, "Baby, what was it like the wedding day when you're getting ready?" She began to explain all that happened early in the morning, waking up and making sure the dress is there. She said she must have looked at it 3 or 4 times, and then the nails have to be done, and then the toes have to be done, and then the hair, and then everything has to be just perfect. Looking in the mirror over and over again, making sure that everything is just perfect, not a spot or a wrinkle. Not a place unchecked. Not a place unnoticed. Everything is important. Because this is the most important day of her life as she goes to meet me. What was I doing that very same day? I was playing basketball with the groomsmen. I mean, it wasn't because I wasn't looking forward to it, but you know, the groomsmen, you know, they all came in town. I was like, "Hey, guys, I got the keys to a gym. Let's go play ball." We woke up in the morning. I think we went to the IHOP or someplace to eat. We hung out. You know, I think I waited till about an hour before the wedding. All I got to do is put my suit on. That was after a shower, praise the Lord. Don't get that twisted. Put the suit on, got to the church on time, thank the Lord. Had a little slide show, a video, a slide montage of when we were babies and then growing up and then dating and all these kinds of things. And I had that already set and ready to go. And I'm there waiting for my wife to be. And she's not ready yet. But yet she started early in the morning. But I think sometimes women kind of do that on purpose. They like to be fashionably late. They like to kind of build up that anticipation. And, you know, they want the guy to just really be salivating at the mouth, you know, just kind of standing there, just waiting. And I'll never forget the time when they said the limousine pulled up. That's when I really started getting a little nervous. I was like, okay, this is it. She's entrusting her life to me. Till death do we part. Wasn't thinking about no basketball then, brother. I'm thinking about how much do I have in my checking account again? That's all right, though. We walk by faith and not by sight. Woo. We stand, we're preacher, the groom, my best man. We're standing right there. I'll never forget that day. Seemed like it took an eternity. The candle, guys, would y'all please just walk faster? You know, a little Bible bearer. That's so cute and all this kind of stuff. That's nice, nice. Come on, is it hot in here? Is it just me? You know, I'm like, okay, this is it. They play the special music. I know this is it. We had to practice, but I've never seen her in this outfit. I'm really looking forward to it. And the sun was just beginning to set right behind the church there, actually where the front was. And as the doors opened, the sun gleamed through it. I just was almost blinded by the sunshine as I couldn't see, but I knew it was her. And then I began to see the image come through the sunlight. Whew. I had a flashback. And I saw the most beautiful woman that I've ever seen in my life. I took out my handkerchief and wiped my head like this. Same response. People started laughing. And here she comes walking in. Her mother is walking her in. And there they stand. Never forget that day. How excited are you about the second coming? How much are you looking forward to meeting the groom? How much are you making sure that you're prepared? How special are the preparations of this most important occasion. Let me ask you a question. When is the preparation day? Mark chapter 15, verse 42 makes it very plain. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, what? The day before the Sabbath. The preparation day is the day before the Sabbath. Amen? According to Scripture. It was called preparation because it was during this time that all God's people were to anticipate, look forward to the Sabbath coming and to be able to enter into that rest. We are so busy that we actually have to prepare to rest. And if you don't prepare to rest, you're just going to keep going. But God says you need to rest. And it's for our own blessings as we enter into His rest, His day. Luke 23, 54, 56. That day was the preparation. And what happened? And the Sabbath drew near. The Sabbath is God's time. It's a holy time. And it's a time that we prepare ourselves to meet with God so that He can make us holy. Anybody here need to be made holy? That happens especially on this Sabbath day. So you have the preparation day, which is Friday. This is very clear through Scripture when Jesus was placed up on the cross. This happened just prior to sunset. Sabbath day, He rested in the tomb, even following the rest by being in the tomb, signifying also of our rest. And then on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, He rose from the tomb. Preparation day, Friday, Sabbath day, Saturday, and the first day of the week is Sunday. Everybody clear on that? Now let's go back and talk about how do we prepare for the Sabbath? Is that all right? Can we just get into some of the nuts and bolts about how to prepare for the Sabbath? Because I don't think that we all really know how to do that. Number one, we should close out all of our business transactions. That should happen on Friday before the sun sets. Prepare your best meals. The cooking should take place on Friday before the sun goes down, so that the wonderful meal that we partake of on Sabbath is warming up or reheating that which has already been cooked or prepared. You should prepare your home, your yard, your car, etc. What do you mean by prepare? Clean. All right? Wash your clothes. Clean up your house. Mow your lawn. Wash your car. Put gas in your car. All that should be done. Why? We're preparing. We're preparing. We don't do those things on the Sabbath. We do those things to prepare for the Sabbath. Why? Because the Sabbath is a special time with our family and God, and we don't want anything to distract or take us away from that. And some people might say, well, that's a bit legalistic. You know, you're saying you have to do this, that, and the other. Let me ask you a question. If you're dating someone, and that special person says, yeah, I'm coming by, I'm going to pick you up about 5 o'clock. You're ready, looking good, smelling good, ready to go out on a date. He picks you up at 5 o'clock and says, babe, we're going to have a great time, but wait a minute, I got to fill up the gas tank first. You're like, that's okay, you know, that can happen. It's all right, we stop and go ahead and get gas. He says, all right, after that, okay, well, wait just a second, though. I got to go to the bank because I forgot to get some funds out. But, you know, we're going to have a good time, though. We're going to have a great time. Just hold on just a second. If you don't mind, just wait here in the car. You know, I got to go in the bank, you know, get some money out, you know, make sure he comes out. He's got the money right there ready. Okay, all right, let's go. Let's go. She's like, okay, are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. All right, well, wait just a second. There's, oh, man, this is one thing I forgot to do. My boss said, you know, I had to call him at a certain time just to make sure that we settle this particular business project. You don't mind, do you? Just for a second, just have a phone conference. We'll do this real quick, okay? And all this is happening during the time that he said was a date. All right? Now, you know, okay, all right, the business call is done. All right, now we're sitting around at the, we finally make it to the restaurant. Okay, and he's talking about everything except you. Talking about his job, talking about sports, talking about, you know, all kind of issues, his friend, what his friend's doing, what his friends are not doing. He's talking about everything except you. How does that make you feel? Then, after a horrible date like that, have the audacity to put his hands on you. Shouldn't do it anyway. Now, flip that around. God has now given us a date in time. This is a holy time period. And it is blessed. And it's even different in the atmosphere. If you don't believe it, check out the other CDs, and as Pastor Wright has made it clear, from scientists that even say it's different in the atmosphere. This is a special time, and the whole time is supposed to be our time to focus on God. We don't need any of these earthly distractions. Why? Because we are being made holy. And I can't be made holy with all these distractions going on. Prepare your finest clothes and your shoes. Ironing should be done before the sun goes down. You know, I was talking to my wife about the message. She was like, you know, Trey, some of this stuff we're not even doing yet. I was like, hold on a second, you know. I was like, look, baby, listen, let me explain like this. We have to preach the ideal standard that we are all shooting for. Right? She was like, well, when are we going to start? We start from now on. From now on. And it's amazing how fast the sun goes down on Friday night. Every other day, it seems like you got all day. Friday, my goodness. And then when the sun goes down early, as soon as you get off work, you're going straight from your job, and as you're on your way home to work, the sun going down, you speeding up. Can I just make it to get to the vacuum cleaner? Preparing for the Sabbath ought to begin Sunday morning. I lost you right there. You prepare at the beginning of the week to meet your God at the end of the week. You know why? Because He is so special that when you set that date, you're looking forward to it. And you're already getting things in order so that by the time Sabbath comes, you are ready to enter into His rest. Go on a date with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bring your whole family into the presence of God. Don't let any of these earthly things deter you. Prepare your finest clothes for church. I don't know where we started slipping here. When you come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you do not dress down. No, you don't. You dress up. And you dress your best. Now, if the best you have are jeans with holes in them and a dirty t-shirt, if that's the best you have, then you come just as you are. But when the Lord blesses you and gives you the blessings of Abraham, then you don't purposely dress shabby to meet your king. This is holy ground. You need to have Sabbath clothes. And you don't mix the common with the holy. You need to have Sabbath shoes. You don't wear them Sabbath shoes on the basketball court? Don't bring them basketball shoes in the Sabbath court. I know everybody don't like that. But it's the truth anyhow. Why? It's a state of mind. And the way you approach God is a reflection of your character and what you think about God. So, and you know what? If you haven't started yet, start now and you'll see. You'll be more blessed to have all these things done ahead of time. When you look around your house and everything is in order, why? In fact, when someone's visiting your house on Friday, they need to be like, what in the world are you preparing for? You know, the house is in order, food smelling good, shoes lined up, and everything's in order, vacuumed. Everything, hold on. If a visitor comes to your house, they need to ask you, what are you preparing for? And you can say, I'm preparing to rest with my Savior. Now, if someone who's a non-believer comes in your house, how is your house different than a worldly person's house on Friday? Take baths and showers before the sun goes down. Prepare your heart and mind. Put away all differences. The Spirit of Prophecy says, if you have differences with anybody, before the sun goes down, you talk to that person and try to make things right. Because you are approaching a holy God. You bring the whole family together so that you can usher in the Sabbath day, which is practice for ushering in the second coming. Don't you see how God does this? Putting away differences. What are you preparing for? This is not some ritual. This is a personal God. And you got to look at it that way. If you're looking at only a ritualistic thing, you're not just coming to a building. You're coming to meet God, to spend time with God. That's why during this time, there are things that we don't do. We have 6 days to do all of our work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. Before we get there, why do we prepare for the Sabbath? I'm going to move quickly because there are a few things I want to touch on. We prepare for the Sabbath because it's a very special day. It's Sabbath with Abba in the middle, which means Father. It's our Heavenly Father's day. And His presence makes that day holy. We are spending quality time with our mighty God. And do you know that in the Garden of Eden, it was during the Sabbath time that Jesus Himself walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden more and in a more intimate way than at any other time of the week. That's what the Sabbath was all about for them, and that's what it should be for us. Professor E.W. Thomas, Heralds of Gospel Liberty, says, man could not keep the original Sabbath and forget God. There wouldn't be an atheist. There wouldn't be anybody talking about evolution if we would remember the seventh day Sabbath. Here are the things that we do not do on the Sabbath. And if you're not there, then don't beat yourself over your head. We're striving. And the Lord will give us strength. We don't work on the Sabbath. Nor does anyone work for us that we pay them for doing something for us on the Sabbath. For God says you should not labor. Even the stranger that comes into your house, if it's your property that God has blessed you with, don't let a stranger come in your house and start working. Because this is a time of rest for God's presence to dwell. We don't do homework or study for exams. All the young people should say amen for that. Don't do it. How many of you all can testify to the fact that if you are true to the Lord and you put that homework on the shelf, God will help you He will help you on Saturday night and on Sunday to do more studying than what you could have done during the Sabbath hours if you tried to cheat God. We do not buy or sell at stores or go out to the restaurants to eat on the Sabbath. This is what we are not supposed to do. Why? Somebody else is working to prepare your meal, that which you should have already done, because you're preparing for your personal God that you love so much. We do not watch secular television or videos. Leave the internet alone. Oh, wait a minute, I'm doing research on something spiritual. Yeah, but I was just checking my email and they had something on there about Herschel Walker. I had sent my sermon notes back to myself. This is what I do. I'm in my study. So I'll put my notes together. I'll send it to myself as an attachment and pick it up off the computer. So after the sun goes down, I'm like, I know, I have my sermon. It's somewhere in cyberspace, I guess. All I have to do is open up my email and get my sermon notes out. Click on AOL. Got something there about Herschel Walker. I almost read it. I said, man, I haven't heard about him for a while. I almost read it. Caught myself. I said, wait a minute. I came online for one thing. To get the sermon notes off, and we're going to cut that off. Because Herschel Walker will turn into another basketball star, it will turn into something else, and before you know it, my mind is not thinking about the Sabbath or godly things, but it's on secular things. Once you go on the internet, you just open yourself a world wide web and tell you what to think about on the Sabbath. So turn that stuff off. You won't die. We don't listen to any secular music. Especially during the holy Sabbath hours. And so many times, you know, when I was young, we used to think we were missing out. During the Sabbath, you know, these are things, we can't do this, we can't do that, we're missing out on stuff. And I'll be honest, it was tough as a kid, you know, growing up, and it seemed like, you know, it's just so many rules, and sometimes we'd even count down. We'd have a countdown when the Sabbath was over. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to admit it, it's true. We thought, you know, you can't laugh and play. Well, what can you do? You know, as soon as the sun goes down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we went crazy in the house. That was the wrong view. It should be the other way around. And it really is now. I don't want to see the Sabbath go. I really don't. We don't play with our toys, children, on the Sabbath. We don't check our mail. Or do business, email. We don't conduct business over the phone on the Sabbath. We don't even talk about secular topics with one another on the Sabbath. Why? We're on a date with God. We're on a date with God right now. This is the divine hour, time where the main dish is served from God Himself. These are the things that we don't do. And if you've been caught up in those things, please set those on the shelf for just one day and watch how more blessed you will be in your life. What can we do? We open and close the Sabbath with prayer, song, scripture, the time of testimonies. You can do this wherever you are and should do this wherever you are. Even if you're traveling, when the sun goes down on Friday night, pray with those that are in the car and usher in the Sabbath together. Spend time praying, studying, and meditating on God's Word. This is what the Sabbath hours are for. Going to church or any place of worship where you can fellowship with believers. Spending time in nature and praising God for all of His wonderful creation. That sound fun? Y'all don't look too happy out there right now. Spending quality time with family and friends. You can watch Bible videos and play Bible games or read inspirational books. Visit those that are in need. Witnessing in the community. Listening to uplifting praise music. And you can go to a spiritual concert or a Christian stage play or AYS. You can celebrate life, love, and the Lord. This is what the Sabbath is all about. And anytime the world takes my mind and attention, when I allow it, away from God, it takes away from my blessing of the Sabbath rest. I need all of what the Sabbath is giving to me. How important is it that we practice preparing to meet Jesus? Ellen White says in Child Guidance, It is our life work here is preparation for the life eternal. Preparing to close. But what are we practicing for as we prepare? We're preparing for the time of trouble. You know, from Sabbath to Sabbath, as we go before God and we make things right with each other, don't you know you're preparing for a serious time to come? You're strengthening your character so that when everything hits the fan, you won't give up on your faith. Every week you need that time to touch and agree with God. God can make sure that your faith is strong, is rooted in Him. You need that time. So when everything in this world comes against your faith, you'll be able to stand strong. We're preparing for the refreshing. This is the latter rain. It will fall upon us. It will only fall upon a holy people. And that's what the Holy Sabbath day is for. It helps to sanctify God's people and to make them holy so that you can receive the latter rain. We're preparing for the sealing, the time when God will seal His people. We're preparing for the judgment. It's during the Sabbath hours that the Lord speaks to your heart and you are reminded of the things that you need to give up so that He can purify your character. We're preparing for the second coming. And if we cannot prepare for a day that we know comes every week, the same time, how can we prepare? How can we know that we are ready when God says no man knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man shall appear? And He shall appear in all His glory. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But Pastor, I'm not holy. Remember, I'm not holy either within myself. But I know somebody whose very presence makes everything holy. I know somebody. And if I let His presence in, He will make me holy. Well, this is something that should happen all the time. Yes, I know. This is the relationship that should take place 24/7, just every day of the week. But God says there's a special day. There's a special time. It's not just a worship service. And look at the experiences of those that have dwindled down their weekly experience with God to a worship service. Missing out on the blessings that the Lord has for them. Who, me, Lord? Can you make me holy? Yes. Yes, I can. We're preparing for the second coming because we're preparing to meet God face to face. Are you looking forward to that day? We're practicing for eternity. We're preparing to join all flesh from Sabbath to Sabbath in the earth made new. For Isaiah 66:22 says, from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh, that means everybody that makes it to heaven, will come and worship before me, saith the Lord. So now, my friends, are you excited to meet the groom? You are the bride. Are you excited to meet Him face to face? If you are, then prepare.
Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus? in you.
If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and check back next week for another message. Thank you for visiting with us. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.